Welcome to the Lukewarm Games Podcast, episode 42. I'm your host, Luke Lewis, and this week I'm joined by an incredibly special guest. We have host of the LAN Parties, a video gaming and esports podcast, Lucas Egan. Welcome to the show, Lucas.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. This might be the best named podcast episode ever. Luke and Lucas, how could it get any better than this?
I was thinking that myself, and yeah, I'm really excited to have you on the show. We've been talking about getting you on for quite a while, and I was really excited that we could make it happen. Yeah, I've been following your work for quite some time. I'm a big fan of the LAN Parties podcast, as well as your writing at the Review Journal, so I'm really excited to get to talk to you a little bit.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to hear. I'm honored to be on, and thank you for inviting me.
I'm a big fan of your work, and I've been following you for quite some time, so I'm excited to get to talk to you a little bit this episode. This episode is kicking off what I'm launching as our long-form interview series. We'll be launching this as a part of Lukewarm Games. My goal is to utilize our podcast platform to tell the stories of amazing people working within the video games industry. So from games media folks like yourself, to game developers, to PR. I want to dig into the wonderful folks that work in the industry. So I'm really excited to kick off that series within our podcast with you today.
Oh, this is exciting. I hope I kick things off in a decent way.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. So before we get into some of my prepared questions, maybe if you could tell listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit about where they might know you from in terms of your work within the industry.
Yeah, so as you said, I'm a reporter with the Las Vegas Review Journal, and I am a co-host of LAN Parties. And so basically, we interview people within the gaming industry, voice actors, game developers, etc. And if you do know me, you know me from ReviewJournal.com, where you can see all my stories, hear our podcast. And this is really where I got my start. So it's if you know me from the games industry, it'll be from the Review Journal.
Fantastic. How long have you been with the Review Journal?
Oh, gosh. So a little over 2 years now. Just actually had my 2 year anniversary of full time work with the RJ just a couple days ago.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
What first made you interested in video games? And I guess at what age do you think was like a turning point for you with video games?
Yeah, you know, so my first ever video game was Pokemon Special Pikachu Edition in the nice. Late 90s, and that really kind of captured me right away. I mean, that was such a unique way to enter the gaming industry just because of how big Pokemon was and the social part of that game, whether you were trading or battling with other players. And so, like, right away, I was, like, just so taken by this new form of entertainment. I'm like, you can have something to talk about, to play with others. I mean, it was just so awesome. From there, my first home console was the original Xbox. And so that was like my first experience playing like Halo. Spend lots of time having those Halo battles with friends late at night and all that good stuff. I would say from a games journalism standpoint, it wasn't until, gosh, right around when I went to college, where I really started putting together in my head that, like, hey, people that work at the Game Informers and IGNs, they're getting paid to do this. So,
right.
So in the back of my mind, I'm like, that would be awesome. But I really had no idea of how to even get into that world. It's such a specialized world. You know, in so much of the media world, they want past experience. And I'm like, I don't have any. So I don't know what I'm going to do here. And so it really just kind of sat on the shelf for me until I got to the Review Journal, and I had a boss that was super gung-ho about the idea of starting a podcast and writing about games. And yeah, I don't know. I got extremely lucky at the RJ that they let me go on this wild, crazy journey that I've been on so far.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's cool that you mentioned the original Xbox. That was one of my first systems as well, and I think that's one of the first systems I remember being like my own. We had a PS1 in our house growing up, but I think my dad played that a lot more than I did. But yeah, I remember the days of Halo 1 very fondly as well. And going into your career into the review journal, was that an outlet that you were aware of prior to your work there, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about IGN, GameSpot. They're a bit newer to the video game realm of coverage, I would say. But were they on your radar, I guess, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
Prior to that?
It does. They were on my radar, but for entirely different reasons. So I was working up in Oregon before I moved back down to Las Vegas. And when I moved to Las Vegas, the RJ is really it for me, a news organization-wise. I love the world of journalism, so I really wanted to continue to be in that space. And so I applied to, I kid you not, 5 or 6 different positions at the RJ, just trying to get my foot in the door.
For sure.
And finally, they said yes to a part-time position where my hours were 4 a.m. to 1 p.m. And
But also, jobs are
right? I think what made it worse is at the time, I was also working as a wedding and event photographer. So those days, I would work at the RJ, take like a 1 hour nap, and then start taking photos in the evening. And so that stretch of time was just, I was just exhausted all the time. But thankfully, they offered me a full-time role. But interestingly enough, the idea for LAN parties didn't get going right away. It just happened because my boss was talking to me, and one thing led to another, and I kind of went into rant mode, and I brought up the idea of a gaming podcast. Didn't expect him to say yes, but thankfully he did.
Yeah, that's incredible. And was your co-host Ryan Smith also already working at the Review Journal at the time, or did that, how did the show come together, I guess, in that way, after the idea was
pitched? Yeah, so Ryan started working a little bit after I did at the RJ, and I kid you not, we had not met each other, and my boss was showing Ryan around the office, stops at my desk, goes, I think you two would be good for that gaming podcast together, and that's how we teamed up.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think you guys have really great chemistry on the show, so that's hilarious that it was so, you know, kind of coincidental of the timing of it.
Yeah, we got really lucky. Ryan's such a great and easygoing guy. He's a pleasure to work with, so thankfully he's great, and he brings so much energy that I could never hope to match.
For sure. With that, upon starting LAN parties and continuing LAN parties, you've had an incredible slate of guests, like you mentioned, from voice actors to game developers, tons of industry personalities. What have been some of your favorite memories with interviewing on LAN parties?
Yeah, you know, I always start with Nolan North because he was our first, what I would call, like, huge guest. And the backstory to that was I was trying to get him on the show for close to 6 months before we finally booked him. And when he said yes, there was like this just freak out moment that I had. I like called Ryan. I was like, Ryan, you're never going to guess who we just booked. And then leading up to that interview, I had to balance the video game fan side of me and the professional side of me to not let me just completely geek
for
out
sure.
to him. so that was fun though, and he's such a fantastic guy to talk to.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Made it really easy. So that helped. So that was like a big, I would say, watershed moment for us where we thought, hey, we can actually reach bigger, if you want to put it that way, for our guests. And since then, I don't think we've looked back. And another one, one of the guests that I really, really enjoyed was Greg Miller. You know, dating back to his IGN days, he's somebody whose work I've just respected and followed through the years from IGN to Kinda Funny. And so, like, to get to talk to somebody of somebody who kind of helped inspire me even get into games journalism was just awesome.
Absolutely.
We also had a lot of fun with Sandra Saad, who plays Kamala Khan in Marvel's Avengers. Just so full of energy, so much fun. And it was like you were talking to a friend, you know, which I think always makes for the best interviews.
Absolutely.
And the last one I'll mention is Sheremy Lee. And that is mainly because She voices like so many anime characters that I love that it was like, oh man, you're in like all these series that I just adore.
Definitely.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm curious too, going off of that, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but as you're preparing for these interviews, how do you go about balancing being such a fan of these franchises and actors and designers to also still providing an informative interview, if that makes sense? How do you strike that balance?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think our balance has definitely changed and evolved a little bit.
For sure.
I used to try and just keep it strictly professional to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And I kind of realized maybe the mix needs to be a little more 50-50, where you're not just like totally fawning over them, but to show their enthusiasm, because I think then they appreciate that they're talking to somebody who knows and understands their work rather than just a random
For sure.
journalist who's trying to pretend to be a gamer. And so it's a matter of, like, I'll usually start by telling them, you know, I love you in this game and that game and for this thing, and then we kind of get into some professional stuff. So we try and just keep it conversational. I think that lends itself pretty perfectly to that mix of talking to you like you're a friend of mine, but also willing to ask questions that lead to some insightful answers.
Definitely. No, I really appreciate that, and I definitely think you strike that balance in your interviews. Yeah, and I like the sentiment that, like, letting them know that you enjoy their work is important, because I think I remember the first time I met, like, a significant person in the industry was at a PAX. It was at a What's Good Games party, and Corey Barlog randomly walked in, and I got a chance to talk to him for just a minute or two, and I started with the fanboy in me just gushing over how much I love God of War, but then I was able to ask him a couple questions too, and it was a really nice conversation. And I would say too that I think all of the guests that I've listened to on LAN parties have been super genuine, and it really seems like they want to be there to tell their stories too, which is cool.
Yeah, I will say, thankfully, we have not had a guest, knock on wood, that afterwards we were like, ugh.
Right.
So they've all been...
That's awesome.
You know, that's always
yeah.
a fear of mine.
Oh, definitely. I can only imagine.
Somebody. Yeah, it's always a fear of mine that we'll meet somebody that isn't as cool as you think they will be.
Sure.
So luckily we haven't run into that problem.
Yeah, that's good. They say never meet your heroes, but also sometimes meeting your heroes is great.
Right?
Going off of that, this past year, you were selected as a member of the Game Awards Future class. First of all, congratulations. I was so excited to see you included in that award, but I'd love to hear a little bit about how it felt to receive the award. And just a little bit about that process in your career.
Yeah. For thank you for that. That means a lot to hear. I remember getting that email. It came in the morning. Let's just say I could not focus on work the rest of the day.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. it was totally unexpected. I didn't expect at all to be a part of that class. It was just a lot of shock and surprise. I don't even think it fully set in till that weekend when I really kind of stopped and thought about it.
For sure.
Just total excitement, total happiness. It was, I to be honest, I still feel a little sheepish being included on that list. There's so many people are doing so many amazing things to the industry, and I just kind of think, I just talk to people. But it's incredibly humbling to know that they recognize the work that we're doing and find value in it. Like, that's something that is... It's hard to put into words, you know. It's something that, you know, we spend so much time trying to build this show. Having a podcast like this had been a dream of mine for so long, and to see others say, hey, this is worth tuning into and listening to is just mind-blowing to me. Yeah, it's sometimes I still don't really believe it, to be honest. Sometimes I still think, like, this isn't real. Like, this is a joke.
I hear you. First of all, you definitely do deserve to be included, but I understand where you're coming from, and, you know, as a content creator, I constantly feel the imposter syndrome of, people listen to this? What's going on? But you definitely deserve it, and I think you're bringing a level of positivity and insight into the industry that is greatly appreciated. With that being said, I'm curious, after the award, have you been able to connect with any of the other members of the future class, whether it be in collaborations or just in conversations, kind of learning from one another?
Yeah, so the really awesome part about that program is we have monthly Zoom calls with as many people from the class that can make it that month, cool. Where we all kind of get together and chat and talk and share tips, you know, advice, wins, all that kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. And we've actually had a couple of them on the show. We had one who was we've had people who are part of Latinx and Gaming on the show. We have a couple that are going to be on the show here in the next couple months. So yeah, it's been a really cool collaborative and fun process to get to know some of
for
them.
For sure. That's fantastic. Building off of that and your work in content creation, do you have any advice for new content creators who want to network and make that positive difference in the industry, whether it be through podcasting or video or more editorial focused things?
Yeah, you know, I would say right from the start is know what your mission is. Mm-hmm. Like, know what you want people to get out of that. And remember that, don't focus on numbers, especially at first. Nobody has good numbers at first, and you can drive yourself crazy.
Right.
Comparing yourself to other shows. And I was guilty. I've been guilty. I still am guilty sometimes of that. And it's insane. It's crazy. If you stick to your mission, if you stick to what makes your show unique, the numbers will come. It might take a little while, but they will come. People will find value in it. And as far as networking, first of all, don't be afraid to ask.
Right.
You know, so many of these interviews, people ask how we got them. I'm like, it's because we reached out.
Yeah.
It's a cliche, but you're going to get a no 100% of the time if you never ask. And I would say just be ready to provide why they would want to come on your show. You know, don't just say, will you come on our show? Thank you.
Right.
You know, kind of explain what your show is about, what your focus is, on why they would be a good fit for your show. But yeah, just stay true to your mission and good things will come.
Definitely. I love that. Put good vibes out there and hopefully they'll come back to you. But as far as your continuing career in the games industry, do you have any specific goals that you're aiming towards, whether they're for your podcast, for your own writing? What's something you're working towards within the space?
Yeah, I would love to evolve the formula that we have with LAN parties into something bigger, and have by bigger I mean have a space somewhere where let me put it this way. There are tons of sites that are focused on gaming news, so that's a world that I don't want to touch. Mm-hmm. But I like focusing on the people behind the games.
For sure.
And I would love to grow that into, whether it's at the RJ, whether it's on a separate site or whatever. I'm still figuring that out, thinking about that. But have that expand to be a place where, you know, everybody involved in games has a place to find those stories behind these people and kind of get to know these developers and actors on a more personal level to hopefully be inspired.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that's my favorite part of LAN parties, is the time you've taken to tell those stories and to tell unique perspectives through your interviews. And I honestly, it's a big inspiration of why I've wanted to do more long-form interviews on Lukewarm Games, because the ones that we have done, for example, with Zach Hartzman, who I think also is a member of the future class,
he is.
Yeah, he's fantastic. We had him on the show early 2020, and I enjoyed talking to him so much and just learning about his experiences and learning about how he uses video games in the classroom that it definitely inspired me to do more interview-based content rather than kind of regurgitating the same news stories and things that I feel like get a bit overplayed amongst the podcast scene. Not that I don't enjoy a good news podcast, but if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And, you know, that's one thing, too, that I try to remind myself is when we do these interviews is to let our guests shine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's easy to think that if you're hosting a podcast that I need to interject as much as possible. But let's be honest, if we're talking to Nolan North, they want to hear Nolan North talk. They don't want to hear me talk.
I hear you.
So I'm just trying to facilitate those discussions.
That balance for sure. Yeah, that's great. As you continue in the industry, do you have any hopes for change as the industry continues to evolve?
Yeah, so let me answer this in two ways.
Please, yeah.
One, I think Cyberpunk was another reminder that the game dev process really needs an overhaul. You know, you can't do this amount of crunch on these developers and expect good endings to happen.
Absolutely.
And the corporate structure in some of these companies just needs to change. Like this is insane. Like, what other industry is this tolerated to the level that it is in the gaming industry? So I'd like a better balanced approach to let these developers have lives. And also, I think that you'd have a better product in the end because they're not rushing and you're not putting out a half-baked product in the end. And I think everybody wins in that scenario. As a side note to that, I wish they would stop teasing games way too far in the future. Like,
for sure.
I feel like that's part of the problem. I have many issues with Nintendo, but one of the great things I love about Nintendo is they'll have a Direct, they'll have a game, and then they'll be like, it's out tomorrow. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
So, just maybe stop building that hype train quite so early, I think, would also help.
Yeah.
But the other area of gaming that I'm really excited to see is virtual reality. Mm-hmm. And I know Facebook has its own set of issues, but, like, the Oculus Quest 2, just from a price perspective, was such a sea change that made it more accessible to so many more people that I really am intrigued to see where that VR platform goes and the types of experiences that people can have. Now that the price barriers seem to be coming down.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm kind of the prime test case for that with VR. I haven't purchased a VR unit yet because that price point is just still too high for, I feel like, what the offering is currently. But I'm so excited about the prospect of that technology. So that's a great point as well.
Yeah, and I will say that I think standalone headsets like the Oculus, I think, are where the real future is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's just like getting another console instead of having to have a gaming PC ready, which, you know, ratchets up the price.
Absolutely.
Of admission by a ton. So, yeah, those standalone sets, I think, is where the real innovation can be had.
Definitely. So that kind of concludes the quote-unquote serious half of my interview. I wanted to move into some kind of lighter-hearted questions just about some of your gaming tastes, some of the things you're looking forward to this year and whatnot. Kicking things off, I wanted to talk a little bit about what's your favorite console of all time? We talked a little bit about Xbox previously. And for the record, at Lukewarm Games, we don't... The console wars aren't a thing, you know what I mean? Everybody should play games everywhere, but where do you tend to... What's, like, a fond memory of console gaming for you?
So, I was really tempted to say the Switch here, but I'm gonna go with the original Xbox.
Nice.
And, you know, in addition to being my introduction into home gaming consoles, I was 13 at the time when I got my Xbox, and I had to work all dang summer long for it. Mm-hmm. So I just have that memory of just spending so many hours of doing yard work and babysitting
and then
finally getting
yep.
that sweet, sweet system.
That's awesome. What were some of your favorite original Xbox games, if you don't mind me asking?
So in addition to Halo, I love Ninja Gaiden Black. even though, to be honest, I never finished it because I rage quit that game. But it was still beautiful and it was still good.
Definitely.
I love Jade Empire, which was an RPG that I don't think gets enough love these days. I wish, like, that, since remaking games seems to be the fad right now.
I would love bring to back see that, that game. Comeback. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Right? Gotta love Knights of the Old Republic. And then I really like Jet Set Radio Future. Like, I thought that game was so charming and so much fun.
I was pitching at work the other day, I was pitching a coworker on why you should play Sunset Overdrive, and I was like, did you like Jet Set Radio? And he was like, hell yeah, I did. And so now he's gonna play Sunset Overdrive because I think he would be a fan.
Right? Oh my gosh, it was so fun to see Sunset Overdrive and see a spiritual successor to game. That was just amazing.
Honestly, the best parts of that game, I feel like, went into Sunset Overdrive. Yeah, those are some...
Right?
Yeah. Those are some good picks. Along those same lines, what's your favorite underrated game? And I define underrated as a game that you really enjoy that you feel like didn't get its due as far as the number of people playing it or the critical reception.
Okay. Everybody needs to hear me out on this. Enter the Matrix was, right? Enter the Matrix was awesome. To think back then, you had a licensed game that wasn't just some bad rehash of the movie, but added to the lore of those movies, had this like super cinematic feel. And I mean, this was like the first time you got to play in the Matrix. Like, that game was awesome. I love that game. I still love that game. I love that whole experience. I mean, you had the actual actors playing and voicing those characters. Like, what more could you want?
I appreciate that pick. That's a good pick. What year did that come out? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think it came out in 2003. Okay.
I would be down to see another Matrix game. Or along those same lines, every time I watch a Let's Play of a game like Superhot, I imagine a John Wick style game, and I know we have John Wick Hex, but I'm thinking more about like a visceral first person shooter action title within that movie universe.
That would be amazing. We need to get somebody to greenlight that.
We need to. I feel like you have the context. Let's make some phone calls after this. No, I'm just kidding.
Sounds good. No, I will say this. Like, I just love the Matrix series in general, sure. But I think people forget when Reloaded and Revolutions came out, you had the movies, you had Enter the Matrix, and then you had the Animatrix. I mean, like, to me, they were like just super forward thinking where they had these different mediums all played together to tell a more fully fleshed out story. That I think is just awesome.
For sure. I think the interesting thing about that too is I think back to the original Xbox and how many licensed games I had for that system at the time. It was like when you were a kid, you saw the movie and then you got the game. That was just like the routine, I felt like. And there were a lot of bad licensed games, but then those ones that were good really stuck out amongst the sea of shovelware.
I have suffered through my share of bad licensed games, but you're right. The great ones, the good ones, really drew you in, and it's nice to see licensed games kind of come back in different ways with what they're doing with, like, the Spider-Mans of the world, so it's been fun.
Yeah, I think kids nowadays have it. I sound like an old person, but kids nowadays have it so much easier with all these. They got Batman Arkham Asylum, they got Spider-Man, the Transformers series from... High Moon Studios, there we go. So many licensed games, good stuff to play.
Kids these days, they don't know how good they have it.
There you go. How about favorite video game protagonist? I'm curious where you take this one, what era we're going.
Okay, so I this is a tough one. I really, really like Nathan Drake. Like,
I'm with you.
Just so much fun, right? He's like he's essentially my Indiana Jones, right? Because the indie movies were a little bit before my time. Sure. He's when I think of like an adventurer, I just think Nathan Drake now. However, if we're gonna go, like, super recent, while Marvel's Avengers was disappointing as a whole, I really like Kamala Khan as a character.
Definitely.
Mainly because I'm just like, if I were in that universe, she would act just like I would. So like, that was fun to see.
Yeah, she did a great job with that performance, and she was like the star of the game to me, and I was kind of baffled with the marketing after playing through the campaign why they didn't lean into her more and emphasize how like integral her story was to the game and like pre-release coverage, because she was great.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think the worst part about that game is there's a solid single player game trapped in a meh multiplayer experience, right. And I just wish they would have ditched the multiplayer and just went for story.
Yeah, I do too, and we'll see what happens if they learn from their strategies with the post-release content, but Crystal Dynamics is so good. Don't hate on them, folks. Right? Yeah, just maybe they shouldn't make games as a service titles, but that's another discussion. So as we're looking at games in 2021 so far, what have been some of your favorite titles that you think would be in the running for your game of the year thus far? We're still pretty early in the year, but what have you been enjoying so far?
Yeah. I really, really liked Little Nightmares 2. I think that game does that spooky mood and setting so well. And there are some truly terrifying, intense moments in that game, mm-hmm. that I just love. So that's been my favorite new release of the year, I would say.
I gotta get to that one. I never played Little Nightmares 1. And I just recently downloaded it so that I could check out Little Nightmares 2. So hopefully I have a couple days off the next couple days. So I'm hoping to jump in soon. But it looks really cool. The atmosphere specifically, like you mentioned, looks really interesting.
And the best part is those games are shorter, so you don't have to spend like countless weekends trying to finish it.
Well, that's perfect for right now. Yeah. Do you have any other games you'd like to mention, or still kind of catching up on stuff?
So I've been catching up on a lot of games early on this year.
For sure.
I had my backlog just explode the past couple of years. So a lot of my time's been spent playing catch up. Like I'm watching my girlfriend go through Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I know is last year. But that's nice. The other game that we're like fully invested in right now.
I played that with my girlfriend Claire as well, and that game is awesome. It was so fun.
It is. I was so worried leading up to that game. I'm like, you're going to remake that one?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But I think they did a really awesome job.
Now, are you a big Final Fantasy fan prior to that? Because I wasn't, and it was interesting how that engrossed I became in that game, and now I consider myself a Final Fantasy fan.
I've been hit and miss. Mm-hmm. I've ebbed and flowed through the year. So, like, I was never a huge Final Fantasy fan. I always liked some of the games, but you're right, like after 7 came out, it kind of like just, I'm a bigger Final Fantasy fan now than I think I've ever been.
Right on. Yeah, now I see the trailer for 16 and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna play that day one, and that never would have been the case prior to 7 Remake. So nice.
Same here.
As we look at the rest of the year, the release calendar for 2021, what's your most anticipated game still to come?
Okay, so I've got one for Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Fantastic.
And knock on wood that none of them get delayed, please,
right.
Please. Okay, Xbox is Halo Infinite.
Absolutely.
I just cannot wait for this game. I was so heartbroken for Xbox fans when it got delayed, mm-hmm. from launch. It just doesn't feel right. You need a Halo game at launch.
I'm with you.
So I'm hoping that whatever issues they had are getting ironed out. And I mean, who doesn't like Master Chief and Cortana? So let's go. PlayStation, I'm going to give 1 and 1A because I really don't believe both these games are coming this year. But if God of War or Horizon comes out, I'm really excited for both of them. I just don't see both of them coming out this year.
I completely agree. Yeah. I think we're going to get 1. So, if I'm a betting person, I would say Horizon. But that's just me.
Yeah, I would say that too. I would say that too. So I'm really excited for both those games. I think they both look epic. Horizon, I am super rooting for because I think it kind of got lost just a little bit because of Breath of the Wild coming out at like the same time. So like everybody just got swept up in Breath of the Wild, and deservedly so. But it'll be nice to see Horizon kind of get its due in the sun here.
Definitely.
Nintendo, probably not a surprise to people who know me, but I am just ready for the Diamond and Pearl remakes. Give me more Pokemon. And I hope Zelda is taking notes, because this is how you do an anniversary. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Snap at the end of this month, remakes coming out later this year, and that Pokemon open world game next year. That's how you do an anniversary celebration. Zelda, please. Please, Zelda, do better.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm really excited for all the new Pokemon titles, and particularly for Diamond and Pearl. That was one of my favorite games on the DS, and I really like the new art style they're going with. Kind of similar top-down style to Link's Awakening on the Switch recently. So yeah, the Nintendo's firing on all cylinders when it comes to Pokemon, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, to think that finally on a home system we've had multiple Pokemon games already, and multiple more are coming, is just, it's like a dream come true for me.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear some of your thoughts on the open world Pokemon that they unveiled. Do you think that'll be the Breath of the Wild style Pokemon game fans have been clamoring for this last generation, or will it be more traditional? What do you think so far based on what we've seen?
I hope it's the Breath of the Wild open world game. You know, it's funny because I've heard a lot of people having a lot of worries about that open world game, but mm-hmm. I'm like, it's a super early look.
Sure.
I mean, come on. Wait till we see something more substantial. For right now, I am like all hype. I am super excited. I think for people to temper the expectations, I would probably be shocked if it was like the Breath of the Wild open world level. I mean, that would be a pretty drastic jump for these Pokemon games.
Right.
But my more realistic hope is that it's a big step toward that direction, and that maybe this is the start of that series to take it to that level eventually.
Yeah, definitely. I think I agree too. It would be a bit strange, not that it wouldn't be appreciated, but to make that full jump to Breath of the Wild level, just because there is so much attention to detail and so much like gameplay game that I think they kind of have to work their way up to that in Pokemon, but only time will tell, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just hope it's good. Like that,
definitely.
To think that you could have your Pokemon adventure while interacting with other players real time, I mean, like, the potential there is just off the charts.
I think as long as it feels like a true next step, because as a longtime Pokemon fan, I think that was my biggest frustration with the recent releases on Switch, whether it's Let's Go or whether it's Sword and Shield, is they just felt very similar to earlier releases, even though I did really enjoy them, but they didn't really feel like very innovative, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, this is not a series known for pushing the boundaries. That's true. Let's put it that way.
They are everyone's first RPG.
Yep. Yeah, you know what is also going to be strange is that's been their biggest Achilles heel and their biggest strength, because it helps you relate to, if you have kids who are discovering their first Pokemon game, you still know what to expect and can help them. So it they're in a weird spot with that, where it stinks that we never see them really push the boundaries, but it's also why I think so many generations of gamers can come together over it.
For sure. Well, Lucas, it's been really fun talking to you today, and I'm glad we got to have this discussion. Once again, thank you so much for coming on our little show.
No thanks necessary. It was my honor. I hope we can do it again soon.
Definitely. For now, where can listeners keep up with you and your work?
Yeah, so you can go to reviewjournal.com, but on social media, I'm at Lucas Agin on Twitter and at the Lucas Agin on Facebook, and I promise you that wasn't done out of an egotistical way. Somebody just took Lucas Agin on Facebook.
It's all good. We've all been there with our usernames.
I feel weird saying it out loud that I'm like, I'm the Lucas. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's not like that, people. I promise.
I feel like V is better than underscore. Not to throw Kinda Funny's Nick Scarpino under the bus, but, like, you know, it flows better.
Right? I think so, too. Like, I had that debate in my head on what to go with, and I arrived that I think the is, like, the preferred alternate name.
For sure. Well, with that, everybody, get excited for Pokemon Snap. It's coming. Pokemon is upon us.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm so ready.
Indeed. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Some quick housekeeping items. Please subscribe to our show on your podcast platform of choice. We are now officially on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. You can follow Lukewarm Games on Twitter to get the latest updates on our show. And if you enjoy our podcast, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/lukewarmgames for exclusive podcasts, a bi-weekly blog, and much more. With that, have a fantastic week, cheers, and happy gaming.